Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mystic Podcast. Today, we will be covering Season 1, Episode 16 of The Vampire Diaries, and the episode title is There Goes the Neighborhood. So we are back with another Vampire Diaries episode. I would say that this isn't the best. It wasn't the best episode. It's a pretty average episode, and I'm sure many of you will agree with me, but we did finally get some tomb vampire action. So in my previous episode, episode 15, I had my record long over 1 hour episode. It was 1 hour and 10 minutes, and I have to admit that I didn't get as many listens on that one. I get it. I'm gonna aim to like film for like 45 to 50 minutes. I think that's the best time point. When it gets to over an hour, it can get hard to, you know, make the time to listen to it. And especially because it's a solo podcast. So I completely understand. And although I didn't receive any feedback saying that I should make my podcast shorter, from the analytics, I can kind of tell that it wasn't a big hit. Before we get into the actual episode, I'm going to give you my weekly life update, if any of you are even interested. So yeah, a lot has happened in this past week. I'm not sure what I updated you guys on last week. I've completely forgotten. But basically, my episode went up on Sunday, and Sunday night, my partner left to go to Nevada, Las Vegas, and he is coming back tomorrow, finally. Really looking forward to seeing him. It's the longest we have been apart since we came to Hawaii, so it's literally been 2 years, I'd say, since we've been apart. And so yeah, it was really tough the first night. It was felt really weird to just have the house to myself. Well, of course, I have our Frenchie with us. But actually from the next day, so from Monday to this morning, I managed to reunite with my mother. It's been 2 years since I last saw her. So I managed to, you know, go out and show her Waikiki, Ala Moana. It was her first time in Hawaii. And it was so surreal to be able to see her after so long. I said goodbye to her this morning, and I was in tears, and I still am. I think the first time I said goodbye to her, when I first came to Hawaii, I was more excited. I was expecting to see her like really soon, and you know, plans changed, and I'm living here now. I didn't expect it to be this long. So this time the goodbye was harder because it's like now I'm living here and my life is here with my partner and my dog. And it was just really harder to say goodbye this time because we don't know when we can see each other again realistically because we're living in different countries. And if any of you guys have ever moved abroad or even like, you know, opposite states, for example, like East Coast and West Coast, you'll probably get how I feel, but it's really heartbreaking, especially because I have the house to myself. I'm even more sad. Well, I have my dog, but my dog's been really sad too. He hasn't been eating much, but I video called my partner and he looked a little bit more happy. So yeah, it's our last night. And yeah, so I've been up since 5 a.m. because my mom's flight was 11 a.m., flights are crazy right now because Japan opened their borders. Everyone's headed to Japan. So she left at like 8 a.m. I've been up since then. I just wanted to keep active and productive, you know, because I mean, I've been stopping and crying here and there, but she would want me to be productive. And she even said that. So she gave me lots of motivation. And so I've been cleaning. I've done like an online session. I've been prepping for this podcast. I've been reading after so long, doing coloring. So it's been a very productive day. And it's 9 p.m. right now on a Thursday. So 4 days before this episode needs to be up. It's been a really surreal week. I'm really missing my partner, and at the same time was great to see my mom. I think that's about it. I've been speaking for very long on my life update. So let's get into talking about the episode. So first of all, absent characters of this episode, we had no Alaric. And of course, in the end of the previous episode, we had Alaric die once and then come back to life. He was very much a main character of the previous episode because it was all about Isabel and Damon taunting him. So it was kind of strange to me to have him absent. Like, I feel that they put last week's episode as a filler to take a break from the Tomb Vampires, and then this episode it was all of a sudden switched to back to Tomb Vampires being the center of everything. So yeah, I wanted to see Alaric, and I'm really curious as to see if Damon knows he's back to life or not. Would I mean, surely Stefan would have told him, right? But there was no interaction indicating that. We had the Tomb Vampires appear, so we saw Befan and Frederick. And then Pearl, we saw lots of action from Pearl this episode. And I think I mentioned last time that Pearl has been in many, or the actress that plays Pearl has been in many TV shows. Sorry. I talked about Isabel and Kelly Donovan last week, but we saw lots of action from Pearl. And actually, the actress Pearl is a former Miss Hawaii, and she was born in Honolulu, which I just thought was a funny coincidence because I live in Honolulu right now. And so yeah, that's about it. So let's dive into the plot of season 1, episode 16. So in the beginning of the episode, it really picks up where it ended last time. So we have the house of Miss Gibbons, and there's loads of tomb vampires inside there. And they're sort of like teaching them the modern world, technology. I mean, they do have a lot to catch up from, because, I mean, even comparing 2010, which is when this was aired, to now, which is 2023, just 13 years, technology has developed so quickly. Like, I think it just keeps getting quicker and quicker. Like, in 2010, I still had a flip phone. There was no Apple Watches. Everyone was still using iPods. Really nostalgic. I would Bluetooth music to put into my phone. We were still using CD players. Everything's just changed, you know, in 13 years. So imagine waking up from being in 1864 to 2010. Sorry, water break, because I'm very dehydrated. So Anna walks through the house. She heads to the kitchen, and we see Frederick feeding on Miss Gibbons. And you can kind of tell that Anna feels bad, that Miss Gibbons is just being, you know, used as a living blood bag, basically. So we can kind of sense some tension between them there. Switching to Matt and Kelly. So, of course, Kelly was back since the previous episode. She's back in the Donovan house, and she wakes up really hungover. From the looks of it, Matt is saying that she brought a random guy home, and you just see the whole family dynamic. I mean, we saw it in the previous episode, but you see it in today's as well, that Matt's really the caretaker of the family. Like, he's the one that's literally supporting them right now with his job at the Mystic Grill. But he's suggesting that his mom should get a job, which is obviously what she should be doing. Like, she shouldn't be making her son, who is a full-time high school student, you know, pay the bills as well. So he suggests that there's an opening for a bartender job at the Mystic Grill. And, you know, interestingly, so I guess all three of them have worked at the Mystic Grill, Vicky, Matt, and Kelly. You know, Kelly apparently previously worked there too. I'm guessing that the bartender opening job is probably Ben. If you remember, Ben was the newbie vampire who was turned by Anna. He was a former high school football star. And Caroline appears. I think Caroline is there so she can head to school with Matt, which means they probably live walking distance, unless she took a car, I'm not sure. But Caroline's really trying her best. Like, she's like, good morning, Mrs. Donovan. If you remember in the previous episode, Kelly literally says to Caroline's face that she doesn't like Caroline because she's fake, she doesn't like her mom either, but she's trying her best. And I don't know, something about Caroline's outfit, the scarf, like the small scarf around her neck, is nostalgic to me. I used to wear that fashion. And even like the knee-high socks or boots, was it, that she wears during the double date. It's just really nostalgic seeing their clothes. So Caroline and Matt are headed. They've arrived at school together. And Matt is telling Caroline off, telling Caroline to be more nice. Sorry, but I'm team Caroline on this. If you remember in the first few episodes, I disliked Caroline so much, but I really felt bad for this episode. I mean, I get that she's very insecure, maybe more insecure than the average person, but it's probably because of her father leaving. It may have something to do with it, how she's had bad relationships, for example, Damon. So yeah, I mean, Matt literally knows that Kelly is being mean, throwing shade to Caroline, and yet he's telling her to be nice. I mean, I get that it's his mom, but at the same time, he should see the situation that's, you know, going on. So back to the Tomb Vampire House again. We now have Pearl teaching Harper how to use a cell phone. So I'm guessing Pearl learned pretty quick, I think, from Anna about everything. And now she's teaching the other Tomb Vampires. And one funny thing she said is the keypad is used to text when you want to avoid talking to someone, which is something they actually do all the time. This is me 24/7. I hate phone calls, unless it's with my mom or my partner, obviously. Regular phone calls or like phone calls of like companies, I hate. I guess I have, you know, minor/major social anxiety. And so, I mean, I'm fine with doing podcasts and YouTube and Instagram, like social media, but for some reason, actual phone calls, I'm terrible at. Doesn't matter which language it is, Japanese or English. So yeah, texting is my thing, definitely. And when Pearl is teaching Harper how to use the phone, Jeremy's voicemail plays out of nowhere, and like Anna walks in, she's panicking, trying to grab the phone. Harper's apologizing, saying like, oh, he didn't break it. And then when asked who it was on the voicemail, Anna actually answers honestly, which I thought surprising. She said, oh, that's Jeremy Gilbert. Like, seriously, I'm gonna use a Caroline phrase. I mean, it's my phrase now as well. I use it all the time. But seriously, Anna, you're really gonna say the Gilbert name, because it's obviously a trigger for all the Tomb Vampires, especially Pearl. But anyways, Pearl is getting ready. She's in a girl boss suit, and we really see her take action throughout this episode, which I did enjoy. Meanwhile, back at the school, Caroline is inviting Stefan and Elena to go on a double date with her and Matt. Elena is disagreeing. I mean, she thinks it's awkward, probably. Stefan surprisingly agrees. And it's because they were literally just discussing before that they want to have a normal, human-like, fun day, which he thinks it is. Next, Pearl is headed towards the Salvador house. And of course, because Zach was killed by Damon, no invitation is needed. So any vampire can enter because there's no human on the deed. Which I don't know how the deed is working then, like who the owner would be. It's really not a good idea. I mean, maybe before there was no Tomb Vampires, there was no threat, it would be okay to have a house with no human owner. But now the Tomb Vampires are out, they really need to get someone, a human, on the deed. Maybe Elena. So Pearl and Anna walk in. Damon attempts to strangle her, but of course he can't, because we find out later on that Pearl is 400 years older than Damon. So quickly switching to a mini Jeremy scene. Jeremy is in his house. I think Jeremy was absent from the previous episode, right? Yeah, he was absent. And I think the last time we saw him was in episode 14 when he was looking on Bing. He was searching up vampires, and he's still on his mission. So he's on this like really nostalgic looking website. Like, it looks like a website from the early 2000s. It's called The Lair, Vampire Lovers Only. So he's in like a chat room, I think, and like he's asking them, how do you turn? And no one's giving him a serious answer. Someone answers, Brad Pitt changed me. So at first I thought it was like, you know, them just using a random actor as a reference. But then I figured out that, of course, Brad Pitt was in the Interview with the Vampire movie, which I have not watched before. I've watched a part of the TV series that was released last year or the year before last. Not finished it, but yeah. I think that's what they were referring to. And then he's asking how to kill a vampire. And then someone actually gives him a serious answer, like a stake in the heart always works. And then Jeremy replies, you're a believer. So, you know, he's really continuing his research on finding out about vampires. So now we've talked about the mini Jeremy scene, we can switch back to Damon, Pearl, and Anna. So Anna is explaining that, you know, the witch must have messed up because the tomb vampires are out. Some of the vampires have left town already, some are probably in the woods trying to adjust, and then the others are in the house. Pearl is saying that seeing as Damon is a part of the, you know, the Founders Council, he's in the know with them. She said that she needs a list of who is on Vervain and that needs to stop. And he tries to deny it at first because he just doesn't want to get involved with them. But Anna is like, wait, I've been here since the comet, so no hiding anything from me. And you can tell that Damon just really doesn't want to be told what to do. Like, he is in a comfortable position right now, I think. I think before he was saying that he didn't care if the tomb vampires got out, if he got Catherine, it's their fault that she was trapped in there. But now there's no Catherine, he's like, he doesn't need any revenge. And to be honest, he's living peacefully because he's managed to really, I mean, Stefan as well, they've managed to really blend into the society. They're admired. He's admired by Sheriff Forbes. So really, Pearl coming in is just really a hassle, and it's just going to mess up things. Pearl's plans is that she wants to take Mystic Falls back. She says it's their home. And Damon is like, that was in 1864. Like, you need to move on. And I'm sorry, but wasn't it Damon who made it his mission for 145 years to search for Catherine? Like, literally, since turning into a vampire, that's been his sole mission. But I guess now there's no Catherine, he's really over it. And Pearl said, when exchange for you cooperating, I'd be willing to help find Catherine. And she says that her and Catherine have been BFFs since way before Mystic Falls. And I really wish we could have seen, you know, more scenes of that. I would have loved to see scenes of Pearl and Catherine back in the 18th century. I mean, the Vampire Diaries, of course, the present day is the main story, but they do such good flashback scenes. And there's loads of good flashback scenes every season. I mean, of course, they're vampires. They've lived long lives. You'll see lots of flashback scenes. I wish we could see every single moment of their lives. Like, I think that even though the whole franchise has ended for now, they could literally make endless spin-offs by showing each of the characters' lives as a vampire. And I think that avid fans like me would watch all of them. So that's an idea to note. So yeah, literally the only scenes we do get of Pearl is the 1864 flashbacks and then the present day. So we don't really actually know that much about Pearl, to be honest. And that goes for nearly all the tomb vampires, I'd say. But Damon is like, well, I'm no longer interested. So he's no longer interested in Catherine. And Pearl is like, well, no isn't an answer. And then she literally pokes both of Damon's eyes out. So he was saying that that was just a kind gesture, but she's not going to take no for an answer. And we finally see some, you know, action between vampires and the difference in strength. I mean, we did see it with Lexi and Damon, but that was just playful. You know, this is like hardcore. And then Pearl says that she has 400 years on him. Little boy, she calls him. So yeah, Pearl was really cool. She was really strong throughout this episode. We're heading to the date night and the scenes at the grill. So yeah, let's move on to that. Stefan has headed to Elena's house. He has some flowers. Elena is the one that's going to drive them to their date, apparently. So apparently Stefan doesn't have a car, but we see later on that he in fact does have an old sports car. And so Elena's like, well, have you ever been on a double date before? And then Stefan strangely says, yes, in 1972 he went on a double date with Hugh Hefner and Playmate twins, which I thought was really random. And I wouldn't think that Stefan would be the type, like, that sort of seems like a Damon thing. So I'm guessing it was when he was with Lexi, because we've seen Stefan in since the early episodes. He tends to be very serious. It's when he's with Lexi that he becomes more playful and more lighthearted. And so Pearl has gone to town square to meet with Jenna. So she's planning on buying her apothecary back. And it's revealed Jenna's like planning on showing her around, and she says that this building has been in her family for generations. By that, we can assume that Jonathan Gilbert took the apothecary after putting Pearl in the tomb, which is disgusting. I really hate Jonathan Gilbert. I mean, if I could, I'd choose him as the character I dislike for this episode, but he wasn't physically in it. I don't want the town to be disrupted, but at the same time, I understand Pearl's anger and I like her strong character. And we see Anna tagging along. So Anna's pretty much tagging along everywhere with Pearl now. Now she's got her mom back. And Anna sees Jeremy walking through the town square. And she smiles. She looks really happy. So now that the tomb business is over, I think Anna just really wants to lead a normal teenage life. And now she can express her actual feelings that she had for Jeremy. So then we are taken to the grill. So a lot happens at the grill. We have two different parties. We have, of course, have the double date. And we also have an adult trio, an interesting trio. So Kelly is, first of all, drinking at the bar alone. Damon waltzes in with his sunglasses on. He looks out of it. And at first I thought it was just because he was still pining over Catherine or he was just drunk or something. But then I remember that his eyes were just poked out. And even with vamp healing, he probably doesn't feel like showing them. So Kelly takes a liking to him straight away. You can tell that she's planning on flirting with him. And so she reveals that she got blew off. So she actually came for the interview. But she got blew off. And then she's like, oh, it's probably because I slept with the manager's boyfriend. And then Jenna waltzes in and it's a big reunion between Jenna and Kelly. And then it's revealed that Kelly used to babysit Jenna. And then they started partying together as Jenna got older. And of course, we find out later on between Elena and Matt that Kelly was best friends with Miranda. So it just really makes sense why she likes Elena. It's because she was literally best friends with her mom and friends with Jenna too, and known them since her childhood. So I'm guessing that maybe it appears that they're all the same age, like all of the moms. So she probably didn't like Liz since high school. And I really like this whole trio of these adults like drinking and taking shots together, and even the scene later on, it was funny. So yes, we're heading really into nighttime now. The nighttime is where all the action begins. So it's nighttime and we see Frederick and Biffan looking really unhappy. Well, I say in particular Frederick. And so Frederick is really looking down on Harper and you can see that he dislikes him. And I'm thinking that it's one because of the race issues. So obviously in the 1860s, like I said, there was very much a segregation between white and black people. So I think that that's why Frederick is treating Harper like he's below him. And secondly, because Frederick is an old vampire, he's looking down on Harper as well. And I didn't really know about Harper. I mean, I don't think they explain it in the episode, but after looking up on TVD Wiki, I found out that Harper was turned by Pearl in 1864. So he was a soldier fighting in the Civil War. He got killed and Pearl fed him blood and saved his life, basically. So I guess that's another reason why he feels so indebted to Pearl and he calls her Miss Pearl. He really respects her and appreciates that she saved his life. So yeah, I knew that Harper was probably a recent vampire, but I didn't know that he was turned in 1864. So he's not even 1 year old as a vamp. And after being turned, he got put in a tomb straight away, unfortunately. So the double date has started back at the grill. Of course, it's the grill. That's the number one date spot. And, you know, Elena and Matt have, they have loads of like childhood conversations that they do throughout the date, which doesn't end well, which leaves Caroline really, really insecure and mad. So they're talking about how Elena and Matt shared a crib And then they spot the trio, the adult trio, Damon, Jenna, and Kelly drinking, which, I mean, because it's like the only bar that they have in the town, I mean, it's not really surprising that they're going to run into parents or aunts or friends, you know. So Frederick and Bifan have decided to hit the town, and they will later be at the grill as well, because like I said, that's the only spot to go to by the looks of it. So back at the Gilbert residence, Jeremy is alone in the house. He gets a knock on the door and he's really shocked to see Anna, but he doesn't really look that happy by the looks of it. But Anna just comes in. Of course, she's been invited in once, so she can just walk in the house. And back on to the grill, Jenna spots the double date gang and she's saying that they should hide. And I don't know, it was really entertaining seeing Jenna and Kelly together, even though I don't like Kelly overall. She's a bad mother to Matt and Vicky. It's fun seeing her interact with adults. So I feel like if she was a character that didn't have kids and wasn't neglecting Matt, she'd be one of those, you know, fun, you know, don't care about anything kind of attitude characters, and it would have worked well for her. But it's because that she's, you know, neglecting Matt and making Matt being the caretaker that, you know, that inevitably makes us dislike her. So switching back to Jeremy and Anna. Jeremy and Anna are catching up. Anna is saying that she's planning on going back to high school if her mom allows her. So she doesn't want to go, she doesn't want to be homeschooled anymore. She wants to live the normal teenage life, basically. And she's saying that her mom is planning on opening a store, which is, of course, the apothecary. And so Jeremy is saying that he's planning on writing another paper on vampires. He mentions a comment that maybe vampires are just like us, they're normal, they're outsiders, and they're misunderstood. And you can kind of tell that Anna looks a little happy to hear that, but she wants to play it cool. So she says that she made that stuff up because she wanted to impress Jeremy. And that's about it for now for Jeremy and Anna. And we will head back to the grill. So Caroline is just really fed up with all these childhood talks. She's gone to the bathroom. Elena's in the bathroom as well. And Caroline's really pissed off at Elena. She's saying that the point of the date was to show that Elena was with Stefan and that she's moved on, not for her to be catching up with Matt on childhood stories. I get Caroline's point. I understand that Caroline would feel really out of place and pissed off, but at the same time, I think that it's not Elena's fault. She shouldn't be angry at Elena, because it's really Matt that's bringing up most of the stories. And I mean, you'll see later on that it's Matt that's making these comments that are he's so oblivious to how Caroline's feeling, whereas Elena is being pretty cautious at the same time of everyone's feelings. So they walk out of the bathroom together. Frederick and Bifan spot Elena, and Frederick, you know, of course, being from 1864, thinks that Elena is Catherine, like every tomb vampire does. So he says Catherine, and then Elena's like, I'm sorry, you must have got the wrong person. And we see it later on when she texts Stefan, but she acts really well. She doesn't say, why do you know Catherine? She pretends that she's completely oblivious to it. And Caroline shouts out, Elena, come on. And then that kind of enables Frederick to suss out that she really isn't Catherine. So they go back to the pool table where Stefan and Matt are. And Stefan's like, how are you doing? And Elena's like, oh, everything's great. And then at the same time, she writes a text saying that man over there called me Catherine. She shows it to Stefan. So she's really good at being sneaky when it comes to like those kind of vampire stuff. She knows that he would be able to vampire, so she knows what she's doing. And it's really ironic because if you remember way back in season 1 episode 7, the episode when Vicky died, she got staked by Stefan. She says she can't deal with the secrets. Like, what is she going to say to Matt or Jeremy? But now she's really a master at it now. But will it or will it not come back to bite her later on? We will see. Yeah, so it's funny because while this so-called like human like normal double date is going on, we still inevitably have vampire drama simultaneously. So they've decided to take the double date to the Salvatore house, and for the adult trio, Jenna sees Kelly and Damon, you know, flirting with each other, and she's like, that's my cue to leave. So she's headed home. So, like I said, the double date is at the Salvatore house. Stefan shows his old sports car, and Caroline says she doesn't like sports cars because they're too hard to make out in. And then Matt's like, well, it wasn't that bad. I mean, I'm going to throw another Caroline here, but seriously, seriously, is that what you're going to say, Matt? Like, he's really oblivious to the point of me being really shocked. Like, how could you not tell that? That would obviously hurt Caroline's feelings. So Caroline storms off, obviously. I mean, even Elena is giving him a look. Like, why would you say that? And Stefan, you know, is pretty cool about it. So like I said, Jenna left the adult trio and she's clearly very drunk. So she steps out the grill. Frederick is waiting for her and he rips her other heel off because one of her heels is broken. And I don't know why, but I found this scene funny for some reason. I'm not sure why. He's asking about Damon. He's like, oh, is that Damon over there? And then Jenna's like, oh yeah, he lives in the boarding house by Wickery Bridge. Well, I didn't know that the house was by the bridge, so I'm kind of surprised about that. But then again, it makes sense because the boarding house isn't in the center of the town. It's on the skirts of the town. It's on the outskirts of the town, so makes sense that it's by the bridge, I guess. So Frederick tries to compel Jenna. Elena had that vervain supply that she got from Stefan, so obviously Jenna is on vervain, and Frederick is like, oh, that's a nice scent, what is it? Elena's put it in her perfume or something. But then again, if Frederick knew the scent of vervain, wouldn't he have known before trying to compel her, right? And then a taxi appears out of nowhere and she's like, oh, that's my cat. Oh, that's a cab. I'm going to head home. Another mini plot hole. If it was such a small town, would there really be taxis just lying around? I mean, especially back then, I wouldn't imagine it. I mean, I lived in a small village in the UK. I'm not sure if the population count is the same, but it's probably the same as Mystic Falls, I'd say. I'd never seen a taxi, you know, waiting, like, on standby for clients, like, even outside pubs, like, British pubs. I mean, I guess because it's the countryside, most people would just walk home, and it wouldn't be dangerous. But, yeah, I mean, even nowadays, you wouldn't really see it in local towns, right? You just call an Uber before you leave. So, yeah, what a coincidence that there was a yellow cab waiting for her. Back at the Salvatore house, you know, Elena's gone after Caroline, and, you know, it can be considered in both ways. I mean, for each and every character, like, they have their flaws, and you also have parts that you feel sorry for them. For Caroline, I do feel that she is extremely insecure, but at the same time, like I said, she probably has trust issues with her father leaving her, with abusive relationships, and I just think that Matt makes it so much worse. He's really not understanding how Caroline is feeling. And Caroline is, you know, venting out to Elena. She's saying that she feels like she's everyone's backup. She feels like she's Matt's backup. She feels like she's everyone's backup for Elena. She feels like she's Matt's backup because he can't be with Elena. And then she says she even feels like she's a backup for Bonnie. So we talked about this, oh my gosh, this is really nostalgic too, the episode where they had like a sleepover, the three of them were at Elena's house, back when the crystal necklace was still alive, and when Bonnie got possessed by Emily Bennett, I can't remember the episode number. I was talking about the whole friendship dynamic, and I said if it's a trio of friends, usually someone is feeling left out, and Caroline clearly is. And Caroline is like, you know, you clearly don't understand, but you're just everyone's first choice. And I mean, Elena isn't a bad person, but at the same time, I get how it can be frustrating for Caroline. Like, Elena's so oblivious to, you know, how she's preferred by everyone, how she's prioritized by everyone. So it's not Elena's fault, but at the same time, you can get why Caroline would seem annoyed. So you know, Stefan, like I said, is being really chill throughout the day. And he even offers Caroline and Matt, you know, to take the car out for a spin. So I guess we can head to Jeremy and Anna. So Jeremy and Anna have headed to the kitchen making sandwiches. Jeremy asks Anna to hand him the bread. While doing that, Jeremy purposefully cuts his hand with a knife to test her. So he keeps walking closer and closer to Anna and really teasing him. Eventually, Anna gives in. She vamp pushes him. She gets vamp eyes, and Jeremy's like, go for it, like, feed. Oh, that's a siren. That's our daily dose of sirens for any of my podcast or video content. Anna is feeding on Jeremy, and then at that time, Jenna is back from the grill, and Anna disappears. So Caroline and Matt end up making up, and they start making out in the car. You know, Matt's apologized, and I love the song that's playing. You know, I have two favorite songs from this episode, which I will talk about in the ending. So they head back to the Salvador house, and Elaine and Stefan too do as well, and they see Damon and Kelly making out really heavily, and you see that Damon almost sniffs Kelly's neck and considers feeding on her but doesn't. I'm not sure why, to be honest. I don't know why he decided not to, but he decided to continue making out with her instead. And it's such bad timing, but Matt and Caroline spot them as well. It's so awkward for everyone. It's awkward for the both of them. It's really awkward for Matt to see his mom making out his ex-girlfriend's boyfriend's older brother. And it's also weird for Caroline because Caroline had that abusive relationship with Damon. She was disregarded by him. You know, even without the vampire stuff, she still faced, you know, emotional abuse that she knows of. To see him just making out with her new boyfriend's mom that doesn't like her and she doesn't like as well. I mean, I hated Matt for how oblivious he was to Caroline's feelings throughout this episode, but it's these times where you just really feel bad for him. Like, he clearly doesn't have a responsible adult in his life. And let's see. So Anna, of course, escaped. Anna, of course, quickly disappeared from the Gilbert house. She's back at the whole tomb vampire lair. And Pearl is really angry at Anna coming back late. So you really see a character change, I'd say, in this episode. You know, we've seen Anna when she was trying to get the tomb open. She was really strong. She was literally like Pearl. She was manipulating her way into getting a tomb open. She was, you know, she used Ben. She used people to get her way. Whereas you really see her, you know, how do you say, transitioning into a child role almost since Pearl is back. So Elena and Stefan say goodbye. Elena decides to drive Caroline home. And, you know, they talk about, you know, trying to have just a normal day without vampire drama. And I do remember in season 2, in a very early episode, they have the same situation where they try to go with one day, just one day with no vampire involved things. But of course, that doesn't happen because this is the Vampire Diaries. So, at the very... Okay, we have several scenes left. Yeah. So, the next scene is Frederick and Bethany... Sorry, not Bethany. Befan are headed to break into the Salvador house, which is obviously easy because, as we saw earlier, no invitation is needed for vampires. So, they start attacking Stefan and Damon. Stefan luckily grabs a stake and manages to kill Befan. Sorry. It's 10 p.m. now and I haven't eaten in, like, 12 hours and I'm getting sleepy. So yeah, he grabs a stake, kills Befan. Frederick sees that he's outnumbered and Vamp runs off. So I don't know, like, Frederick is clearly older than Damon and Stefan, so he'd be stronger, but maybe because he was in the tomb he's not strong and he hasn't been feeding on much blood, I'm guessing. And Stefan says that he remembers them from 1864, and then Damon is like, yeah, about that. So basically, Damon didn't really care, I guess. I mean, he got warned by Pearl in the morning, but he didn't really think much about it and didn't tell Stefan straight away. And then this happened. So Matt has taken Kelly home. And again, really, really feel bad for Matt in this scene. He's saying, like, he's supposed to be the kid. Like, he's not supposed to be the caretaker, which we see is a recurring theme between that parent-child relationship. He's the one taking care of her, whereas it should be the other way around. And like I said a few moments ago, when Kelly was with the adults today, with Jenna and Damon drinking, she was actually a pretty funny character. But it's because, like, I think that they could have made her into a character without kids, and she would have lasted a long time as a popular character. She would probably last a long time as a popular character, whereas we've instantly disliked her from the start because of how she is introduced. We also have Elena and Jeremy back home. They're both brushing teeth. They're both keeping secrets from each other about vampire drama. Three scenes left. So next scene is Pearl. So is Pearl back in the house? So Frederick has arrived home without Bethan, and Frederick is apologizing, saying that he won't disobey again, he won't do that again. And then Pearl shows authority to Frederick, so she offers him a glass of blood but stabs him at the same time. So she's really making him know his place. Next, Stefan is on the phone to Elena, but he doesn't tell her about the tomb vampires yet because she just wanted one day of normality, and so that will have to wait until the next day. And I really found it funny because you can kind of see Damon struggling in the background to like carry the, to drag the body, and he's even like, can you help out a bit, you know, not be on your phone to your girlfriend at this time. And then the very, very last scene, this is kind of like the cliffhanger where they end the episode. So Anna is back at the Gilbert house. She appears and Jeremy says that he figured out about Vicky as well. He says that because you taught me about those animal attacks, he thought that Vicky was on drugs, but it must be that she was a vampire in the end. And you can tell that Anna really likes him. She says that, you know, I must be a sucker for guys like you, guys that are lost. But it's clear that Jeremy is just thinking about Vicky. And he reveals the bombshell, which we end the episode on, which is that he wants to be turned. And that's where the episode ends. At this point, this is pre-editing, I've already reached the 45-minute mark. So even though I was talking quickly, I've talked a lot by the looks of it. So we're going to wrap things up. Next is the review section. So IMDb, it was ranked 7.9% out of 10, which is the same as the previous episode. And one comment that one review said was, this was a very average episode. The most interesting part was the ending, which I agree with. I do, like I said in the beginning, it wasn't the most interesting episode. It was kind of a filler episode. 22 episode season, you are going to get those episodes in the middle that not much really goes on. It's just like fill you in on a storyline to continue. Next, for trivia facts, we only have two trivia facts this time. So the first one is to do with Stefan's car. So this is the first appearance we get of Stefan's red 1962 Porsche 356B, apparently is the name of it. Obviously, I don't know anything about old sports cars, but I do remember seeing this car in the future. So you will get more appearances of it. And secondly, the second and last trivia for this episode is that this episode was the least watched of the season, which does make sense because it's like in the later half, middle of the season, lots of drama in season one, episode 14, finished, and it's gonna take like another one or two episodes until things start to kick up again. And it does, so don't worry. Even the next episode, from my memory, yeah, we get lots of vampire action next time. And one of my favorite scenes is in season one, episode 19. So if you have previously watched The Vampire Diaries, then you will know what happens in season 1, episode 19. It's a very famous scene. So yeah, I'm going to wrap things up with my final thoughts. I'm repeating myself, but there wasn't really much going on, let's be honest. I mean, we did get that tomb vampire action that we were waiting for, but at the same time, I kind of wanted to see Alaric. Like, I mean, even though I know what the ring that he is wearing, I know the story behind it. From a first-time watcher's point of view, I would say that I'd be really curious about that. Like, what is the secret behind the whole ring? And yeah, I really think that they transitioned it so quickly. Like, literally, last time episode, one of the ending scenes was also Elena contacting the number and Isabel answering, and then, you know, Isabel hanging up. And then this episode, there was not one mention of Isabel nor Alaric. So, I mean, funny scenes, I'd say, was the adult trio. I enjoyed seeing Damon, Jenna, and Kelly having fun together. And yeah, I guess, like the comment I read earlier, the most interesting part was Jeremy finally finding out about vampires. It's taken him 16 episodes to find out. And, you know, it just gets more and more interesting when more and more characters find out about the supernatural world. And of course, it ends on the cliffhanger of him wanting to be turned. Oh my gosh, okay, my throat is getting dry now, but we're near the end. So yeah, we obviously saw, you know, the start of some witch action in episode 14 with Bonnie and Grams, but recently it's been about the vampires again, and I will say that that does continue until the very end of the season. It's going to be very much vampire oriented, which isn't a problem, obviously, because it is a vampire show. Yeah, we haven't seen Tyler in a while, but I'm pretty sure he comes back soon, I'm guessing. So yeah, next let's move on to my favorite and least favorite character segment. So favorite character. I did say throughout the episode that I liked Pearl. You know, I liked her being a girl boss, but I will say that I don't agree with every action, every choice she's making. So she's not my favorite. My favorites would actually be Anna and Stefan. So I'm surprised that I chose Anna, but I will say that since she gets her mom back, I start to like Anna more and more. She's a character that really grows on me, I think. And you know, it's just really sweet seeing her happy and having this crush on Jeremy and her wanting to live a normal teenage life. You know, she's had to fend for herself these past 140 plus years without her mom, and she's been really strong, but deep down, she just wants to act like a girl her age, I guess. And for Stefan is my second favorite character. I don't know, I just thought Stefan was also really sweet and chill throughout this episode. The way he's really caring for Elena, he's chill about Matt, and yeah, I liked them both. They are my favorites. The least favorite, Matt and Kelly both have qualities that I disliked about them for this episode, which I have already mentioned, but to repeat, for Matt, I disliked the way he treated Caroline. For Kelly, I disliked how she's a bad mother to Matt. But they're not my least favorites because, you know, I feel sorry for Matt, and then I enjoyed Kelly's banter with Damon and Jenna. So least favorite would have to be Frederick, the tomb vampire, which I think would be an obvious choice, I think, for most people. So yeah, that's about it. I didn't get as many hits this previous episode last week. I don't know if it was because I took a too long of a hiatus from the Vampire Diaries, but I would really, really appreciate it if you could go rate my podcast or write a review on Apple Podcasts. And it also apparently helps the algorithm if you've downloaded the show or like saved the show or followed the show. So I'd really appreciate it if you could do that. It really means a lot because I really enjoy doing this podcast. It's become a passion of mine since I started it half a year ago nearly. I enjoy it. I take many, many hours every week for this podcast, so it really means a lot. And so yeah, next week we'll be looking at season 1, episode 17, and then after that we are taking a 1 week break to take a look at two vampire movies. I'm probably going to blend the two vampire movies into one episode because it is a Swedish version and an English version of the same movie. And so my Q&A for today's episode is, well, for first time watchers, do you think that Jeremy will become a vampire? Doesn't have to be in season 1, but there's 8 seasons of the show. Do you think he will ever become a vampire? And for people that have watched the show before, you can just send in your general opinions on Jeremy, whether you like or dislike him. Obviously, I won't publish those answers because I don't want to publish any spoilers. So yeah, if you are a Spotify listener, you can just go ahead and answer under the Q&A section. If you're not listening on Spotify, you can go ahead and DM me your answer and I can share it on the next podcast. Our Instagram is @TheMysticPodcast. Really appreciate any feedback or comments in general. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. I'm going to go ahead and have some dinner now. It's 10:15 p.m. and I'm planning on continuing watching After. So I watched the first After movie. There's 3 movies left. So seeing as it's my last night alone, planning on binge watching that if I don't get too sleepy. So I will end today's episode with my 2 favorite songs of the episode, which was Lovesick Mistake and The Mess I Made. Thank you and see you next Sunday.
Staring at the mess I made.